Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I'm optimistic about tonight.
We brought it to you live when Kim Tavares came out and took a knee earlier, and it is happening again.
We want you to be able to voice your opinion. And, you know, when you have stuff like this, is you still have to show them love.
I'm optimistic about today, moving forward.
This has been a very civil and peaceful protest here tonight. You can hear the protesters chanting, take a knee. And that is exactly what the officers are doing here at One Schroeder Plaza, Boston Police Headquarters.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Actually, the big fella wasn't that far off last night. Actually, it was fairly quiet in Boston. Now, if you want to get a cup of Dunkey's coffee in Brockton, you may have an issue today.
Yeah.
Okay? It might be a slight issue there.
We all saw that last night in Brockton. But, yeah. They went after and tried to light a Dunkin' Donuts on fire. Quickly distinguished, taken care of. And
right.
For the most part, I think it was a quiet night.
New York had some difficulty because apparently when there's an 8 o'clock curfew, it's not a hard, cold out 8 o'clock. It can be.
I didn't tell you the curfew's 9 o'clock, not going to matter. Even
10 o'clock,
even in
11
Boston,
o'clock.
Yeah. The curfews didn't matter. People are still out beyond curfew, but it was done peaceful for the most part, so it was good.
Well, you know what? I have the pulse of the people. You know what? I know what the people want. I know what they need.
You were in those circles? You knew?
I'm wired in, Lou, if you didn't know that already. Like, I know people, and the word was that nothing bad's going to happen. It was even the Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I was watching the news this morning. I watched a lot of it last night. The Dunkin' Donuts, I mean, it's terrible what happened, but the newscaster was like, oh, the owner has 28 of them.
Most of the guys
should not have
said
that.
Guys do. They bought them years ago.
I know, but I'm just saying, it's as if they added the fact that they had a lot of them as to say, this one got screwed up, but they got 27 more. So they're not really in bad shape. So don't feel too sorry for them, which kind of just made me chuckle that was important to say. Oh, he's got 28, so what's one? Well, so one got burned down. They took some donuts. What?
Yeah, I think a lot of these people are treating it that way. Well, this guy's got plenty of money. You know, he's got 27 other Dunkin' Donuts. Suppose this one, we torch this one. He still has 27 others, and people are looking at it that way. So yesterday we talked an awful lot about what others were saying about what transpired in Minneapolis, and people were coming out there, and we specifically talked about Tiger Woods. Because Tiger Woods said something, which is unusual because he usually does not get involved in these things. And he took, took a lot of criticism for doing it. So I pick up WEEI.com this morning and our buddy Ken Laird.
Oh, look at Ken.
Where does Bill Belichick stand on Donald Trump now? It's not about politics. That is a quote from Bill Belichick. That was part Bill Belichick's 2016 explanation for his letter of support to Donald Trump, read aloud by then presidential hopeful while campaigning in New Hampshire. And then he goes on to write the whole thing out. And he says, fast forward to 2020, nearly 4 years since that campaign push. Nobody is doubting that it is still Bill Belichick's right to support his friend Donald Trump. But is it the right thing to do? So in light of the failure of leadership from Trump in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd, maybe it's time for Belichick to write the president a new letter.
I write hundreds of letters and notes every month.
Tell Donald now politics really do matter and you're out on supporting him until things in America are really made great for everyone, including African Americans. So what the hell is Ken Laird saying here? He's not asking him to comment on the tragedy and the awful display by a police officer of a clear-cut police brutality in Minneapolis. No, he wants Bill Belichick to do Ken Laird's dirty work because Ken Laird can't stand Donald Trump. And so let's do this. Let's torch Donald Trump right now, right?
No, I don't see that being any different than people looking for Tom Brady to say something.
Oh, I do.
I'd take politics, schmolitics, whatever. It doesn't matter. The fact is that a lot of people want to hear what these people of power, prestige, people who have like a credible track record of
success.
That's
not what he wants. Do you read this piece? Ken Laird didn't say that.
Ken Laird
wants him to come out and criticize
it.
Donald Trump. Because Ken Laird is criticizing Donald Trump.
Oh, that's fine. So I'll interpret it this way. I'll interpret it as no one's going to come out there and be that aggressive. If that's what he wants, then he's not going to get it. Okay, suddenly he's got a spine and he's got a backbone. He wants to yell and scream at everybody. It's like they've given Ken a voice and he's using it, both with drops and now he's a writer.
Look, what do I do with the spine?
So go ahead, Lou.
I would say I'm more with Glenn on this one. He's not asking Bill Belichick to talk about the social injustice and what is going on in the black community and how they feel they're being treated and how we need change. He's not asking Bill to do that. He's asking Bill to come out and say, I'm no longer friends with Donald Trump. Like Bill's already said, it's a friendship. It's not about politics. You know, Brady's talked about his friendship with Donald Trump. Like there's a lot of people who were friends with Donald Trump before he became president. That doesn't mean they agree with his politics. Did you guys see the release of Robert Kraft? You talk about the Patriots, yes. You know, coming out with something. I thought it was outstanding. Did you guys see that?
I did.
The press release by Robert Kraft. Do you think that Ken Laird was happy with that? Because nowhere in there did he say, I'm no longer friends with Donald Trump. Nowhere in there did he criticize the president, the federal government. He just talked about the issues going on today over the weekend, what happened, the death of George Floyd. But he didn't come out and say, I'm no longer being friends with Donald Trump because of what happened in this photo op. That's what Ken wants him to do. Just come out and say, I'm no longer friends with you. No. If anything, maybe you come out with a statement. We talked about Tom Brady coming out with a statement. Robert Kraft has come out with a statement. Bill Belichick, white coach in the NFL, greatest coach of all time. Maybe he could come out with a statement. But I don't think that statement has to be, I'm no longer friends with Donald Trump, Ken. Are you happy now? Or anybody else? Not at all.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you, Christian. The only time he mentions the name George Floyd is, I'll read the sentence, in light of the failure of leadership from Trump in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd, maybe it's time for Belichick to write the president a new letter. So if you really want Bill Belichick to make a statement about the injustice that was done to an unarmed black citizen by a policeman in Minneapolis, that's one thing. But what he wants is, he wants, like many of these other people, follow along, be a lemming, and follow my politics. And I want you to agree with everything. I'll be the first one, and I said this yesterday. Trump has been awful at this. Terrible. Coming out 2 days ago at St. John's Church, the little move through Lafayette Square, the fact that he was silent over the weekend. I have major problems. On the other hand, is it his fault that a policeman, for some strange reason, whether it was because of the color of the skin of the person or whether this guy is just a bad, bad cop, is it Trump's fault that that happened out in Minneapolis? But that's what I think Ken Laird wants Bill Belichick to do, chastise Donald Trump for what we now have going on in this country because of a bad cop.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I mean, and I guess my issue is everything his fault?
By the people that can't stand him? Yes.
Depends everything, on how you feel.
Yes. So if I trip, it's Trump's fault, and it's I can understand how, you know, people will use this as a rallying cry, even though the same things, riots happened under Obama and other presidents who had nothing to do with the incident that caused people to riot in the first place. Yet somehow, this is a way to get rid of Trump. Fine, I'll give it to you.
Impeachments didn't work, so this is another way of doing it.
Obama's always been a much better speaker.
Yes.
That's smuck teams. So he sympathizes. You know, he's better on the microphone.
Yep.
So after Ferguson comes out, and what happens in Ferguson, he comes out, he addresses the country, he condemns it, you know, and I think people feel better. They don't blame, Obama for what happened in Ferguson.
Yeah, but he blamed himself years later. Because he screwed it up.
Right. Or Joe Biden, who for the last 40 years, all of a sudden now is going to do something more for the black community. He's had 40 years in politics. Where's he been? Nancy Pelosi, 35 years. Where you been?
Same Joe Biden on the Breakfast Club 2 weeks ago made a racist statement, right?
And they look at Trump, and they feel like he spews, he's a racist. That's what they think. They think he's a racist. Yes. So it kind of ratchets it up a notch, this guy. And he's not good in the microphone.
No, I think you nailed it.
Instead of trying to bring a country together and hold a press conference and just sound somewhat presidential, he sounds like a buffoon.
I love the poorly educated.
I mean, he does.
Yeah, I know. He sucks.
I mean, there's no question he does. And it's just constant with that tweet the other day. He gave credit to himself. He actually talked in third person in a tweet.
Idiotic.
Talking about giving Donald Trump, congratulations to Donald Trump for helping the black community all these years and listed everything he's done. He has done things. And there are people in the black community that realize that, you know, that he has helped a little bit. But that's not the loud majority, minority, whatever you want to call it right now.
I think you nailed it, though. I think what Obama was great at is he was the father who could sit the kids down with the book, without the book.
Well, sometimes as president, that's what you need to do.
Right, and he could sit and calm you down. But on the other hand, you can look at Ferguson, and Ferguson wasn't just a week of rioting. It was a long period of rioting, and then the guy Wilson got off, and then there was a second round of rioting, then there was a third round of rioting, and he did a terrible job during that. By the way, did a lot of the same things, bringing in the federal military and stuff like that. And yet, years later, he apologized. I believe it was on a Bill Simmons podcast or whatever that he apologized, and he screwed it up. Look what he did in Baltimore. That was a complete disaster.
Right.
And yet, people like Ken Laird are making it sound like this is the first time it's ever happened, and it's all because of Trump. And I agree with Ken that Trump has been awful in this. I'm not going to sit here and apologize, but he's been awful.
See, that just reading his article... it is what it is, but it led me down a road of, okay, we're calling for all these other players. I'm seeing Anthony Lynn speak out. I'm seeing Sean Payton speak out and at least have a comment. I just saw, you know, Mike Vrabel say something. So a lot of coaches are getting on video links, getting on Zoom, tweeting something out, whatever it is. And I said, okay, well, when is Bill going to say something? Is Bill going to say something? Should he speak out? Because I would say the one person who I think we all respect as just being like when Bill speaks and when he really on anything, he's really intelligent and he's really smart with the way he does it.
Yeah,
and I would say, okay, what would he have to say if he was going to calm a crowd? If he was going to calm a crowd, no, he couldn't just say it is what it is. Did you guys see Ben and Jerry's response to this? What they put up, that was pretty intense. That was intense. What they released, their statement on the issue. And when I saw that, I was like, well, that's probably what Bill would say. Or would he just be just surface Listen, and just kind of just say thoughts and prayers?
I just saw this tweet, which I think is very important given what's going on, from Amy Klobuchar. She tweeted out that the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is increasing charges against Derek Chauvin to the second degree of murder in George Floyd's murder case, also charging the other three officers in aiding and abetting second-degree murder, according to sources who spoke to conditions of anonymity. So, second-degree murder, if you remember, he was up for third-degree murder, right. And they have officially charged the other three officers for aiding and abetting a second-degree murder.
Right. Amy's a little late on that because, actually, George Floyd's lawyer today, because they went back to the scene of the crime, and he actually said that he's been contacted with the people in Minnesota, and they've already told him the other three are going to be charged. So, and they should be charged. And my guess is that the reason that they increased the charge against Chauvin is the other three may be, they may be ratting him out. They may be the snitches in all of this. I just think anybody can speak, Christian, about whatever they want to speak about. Some people now suddenly feel it's a green light, they can speak, and they didn't speak for a long period of time. You're a citizen of the United States. You can do that at all times. But the fact is, if Bill wants to speak, he can speak. That's not what Ken Laird's asking. He wants him to turn and go on his political side.
I told you, okay? I want to get off Ken Laird's column.
Well, that's
my main thing. We're not necessarily.
You want Bill to speak out now. You want to
say
that from Bill.
I said that when I read that, I said, okay, that's one way of looking at it. And then people are clamoring for Tom Brady. They want to see what he says. They're looking for other leaders. They're looking for other businessmen of power, of acclaim. And we're looking for the Patriots to say something. So Kraft says something. The teams are making releases. But should Bill do something? Or shouldn't Bill say something? That's all. And I don't think that's – I think I would love to hear from him. I would love to hear what he would have to say on this because I think he's so intelligent and he's usually right on point. Like the points that he's making are topical, they're significant. That's all. So Ken aside, Great column. All right. I love that you're giving back.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, an eventful night here in Boston, a little bit different in New York and some of the other cities. We're going to get into all of that. And a little bit later on, Drew Brees may have pissed off a few people here today. We're going to get to all of that as well right here on OMF at 617-779-7937. All right, back here in OMF. First segment, we were talking about Ken Laird's piece and should Bill Belichick speak out on the riots and the protest and race relations, and a lot of people have. Christian, you said you like hearing from all of these guys and what they have to say.
Yeah.
I would say this.
You don't?
I think a majority of them, certainly many of them, maybe a majority is a hyperbole, but many of them are doing it just so that they can get a little Twitter applause.
You know,
they're not doing it because it's in their heart. Or it's what they truly feel, because the way a lot of them are worded, you can almost tell they're just trying to play on people. They are.
Well, I will say you're right in a sense, and I would say some guys, I feel like they know people are expecting them to say, like, they have to say something.
Yes.
So they do it because they're required to, there's people expected, so they have to say something. And I think there's other people that you can tell they actually mean what they say. But for me, here's why I like hearing from them. And not just the pat on the back, the passive drive-by, thoughts and prayers. Those, throw them away. I like to see what someone is willing to deal with. When they allow themselves to put their true emotions or beliefs out into the public, knowing that they're going to be criticized, I think I can tell what they're willing to withstand. I think I know how strong they are with their beliefs and internally. Listen, this is what I believe, and I know a lot of people aren't going to like it, but I got to say it anyways. If you're asking me, I'm just going to say it. So that to me is why, because I like to see who's got courage and who doesn't.
Yeah, and I do think, though, for the most part, you are seeing a lot of emotion in some of them. And if someone's just throwing something out there because they feel like they have to, and it's like, well, I'm getting more tweets and tweets about how my silence says a lot, and so I got to throw something out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still say it's better than nothing. Just getting it out there, because I think there is, for the most part, I think they're good. And they're said with a lot of emotion, and if someone feels pressured into it and they're just not comfortable or they're afraid to put their words in on a tweet and think it's going to get dissected, and you keep it short and sweet, okay, I understand that, but I think it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I think it's being tainted towards a political position, and I'll give you an example of it, because we talked about this with Tiger Woods yesterday. Tiger Woods was taking a lot of heat because he also included the fact that there was violence and destruction being done in communities out there. Well, some people don't want to hear that right now. They want all of the emphasis to be on what's going on with George Floyd and police brutality, right? And I'm not saying that that's wrong, because that is the catalyst. That is what started all of this. But the effects of it after it happened are violence in the city, violence against black people in the city, destruction of African-American businesses.
I get it. That's your opinion. I don't think that's why I get criticized. That's your opinion.
I think that's absolutely why he got criticized.
I think he got criticized because in no way in that tweet did he mention social injustice. Did he mention, what the black people are feeling like, how they're being treated by the police or how they're being treated, period. There was none of that in his tweet. None of it whatsoever. It was about George Floyd, and he knows a lot of cops, and we need to educate, and we need to communicate, and hopefully we can live a better life. Okay, thanks. Well, I checked in.
Okay, so what is wrong?
In my opinion,
maybe
yours
you're right.
Is different.
But what's wrong with trying to diffuse what the public has now done?
Nothing.
Many in the public
have
done,
and
that is turn on the police.
More. If he included more, maybe he wouldn't get criticized. But he didn't. He didn't mention it, Glenn.
But they've turned on the police, and he is also trying to basically say that he knows that it's not all the cops. For an example, does anybody know who David Dorn is?
Yeah, last night, St. Louis.
Two
nights ago, rather.
77-year-old, former police cop, retired, came back and volunteered to help out because he loves his town, and he was killed. trying to prevent looters from stealing TVs. And the worst part about it was streamed out live on Facebook Live. So people get the opportunity to see it. The video is out there. It is disgusting.
Yeah.
So what did we gain? We got one bad cop, certainly, and I'm not saying that there aren't others, but we have a real bad cop out there in Minneapolis, and hopefully he'll get his in all of this. And then we extend it now to the point we're taking it out on all of the other guys that are wearing blue, and many of them that are the same color as George Floyd. I'm not sure I understand that part of it.
It wasn't even... dressed as a cop. He's a former cop, right?
No, he had a shirt and he had a badge on. He did.
I thought he was just a former cop protecting the store.
He is. He came back and he came back to volunteer to help him out. They needed help. They needed bodies.
I saw that. I'm sick to my stomach, Glenn, Lou, guys. I'm just sick to my gut, and it's almost as if collateral damage.
Nobody's
you pissed
talking
us
about
off.
It.
You pissed us off. You made us angry.
Nobody's
you know what happens when I'm angry? I get violent. I can't control nothing. So to me, I saw that and I was almost in tears. A poor man. It broke my heart to watch that. But it's almost as if it's collateral damage. You should have known better. That's the read I got from it. Because just like the coronavirus, all I hear is fear is overshadowed by anger. Our fear of the coronavirus doesn't exist anymore because we're angry.
Oh, we're getting
so I'm not social distancing. I know we are, but I just had to add it because it's all in the same bucket for me.
We talk about collateral damage, and you know, I know Ken Laird is talking about leadership at the federal level. And what about local level? Have you seen what the district attorney of Suffolk County, Rachel Rollins?
Yep.
You seen some of the things that she's been doing? She tweeted out Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, Christian Cooper. This is the DA of Suffolk County. While we are being murdered at will by the police and their proxy, privileged racists like Amy Cooper play the victim. She was the one in the park in New York City. No more apologies, no more words, demand action, radical change, nothing less. This is the district attorney. She went on to City Hall, I think, on Monday and actually said, "It is completely ironic to have to say to you, please don't be violent. Please keep your voice down. Please be silent and comply with all the police's requirements, when in fact it's those very people that are murdering us with impunity." The district attorney. So you talk about protecting, like, police officers, and you're sitting there saying, this woman is sitting there saying, don't listen to the cops tonight, by the way. You know, the next two nights in Boston, don't listen to them. It's ironic. Who are they to tell you to be quiet and listen to them? It's time for action. Like, you're talking, I mean... I am blown away that this woman still has a job today. And, of course, the Police Patrolman Association and the union, they responded, and they just shredded her. Ridiculous.
Well, Rachel Rollins,
ridiculous.
Rachel Rollins, since she was elected, has a much different approach than what we have seen.
Oh, you think?
With previous
attack
DAs.
Cops, basically? But I
think it's happening all over the country. You look at New York and you look at the mayor, you look at the divide between the police force, the NYPD, and Bill de Blasio, and you saw it again last night. But the problem is everybody wants to say something, and getting back to what you were saying, Christian, everybody wants to say something. People have been saying stuff for years. So we always come out and we comment on these things. When we had Ferguson, when we had Baltimore, when we had Rodney King way back, everybody comments. But what are the people behind the scenes actually doing? Because it's easy to go out there and talk and say things, and then you get Twitter applause, or in the old days you get, you know, people, you know, write nice little letters. But who's actually doing anything? So David Dorn, nobody's talking about him. Okay, David Patrick Underwood. He's a federal officer who was killed in Oakland on Sunday night by thugs who were sitting there looting. He was trying to prevent them from looting. He's another black officer. Okay, so... And I agree that black lives matter. But do these two black lives not matter? Because very few people are talking about
them. Careful the way you say that. Careful how you say it, Glenn.
But very few people are talking about them.
Careful how you say what lives matter and what lives
don't
matter.
I'm just telling the truth here and how I feel. But do they not matter?
Because
George Floyd's life mattered. George Floyd's life mattered.
Yeah, but people lose their jobs over saying what lives matter and what lives don't matter, or just not even what lives don't matter, but just adding to other lives that matter. People are losing their jobs because they say all life matters, and that alone will sit there and get you fired.
Well, so, all right, how about the black business owners who have had their business looted or completely destroyed? Do their lives matter?
Yes.
Okay, so there is been...
Just don't say it, though, Glenn.
Yeah, but Christian, here's the thing. So Grant Napier is the one you're talking about.
Yes.
Play-by-play guy for the Sacramento Kings. So DeMarcus Cousins tweeted at him and said, what's your take on Black Lives Matter? Now, apparently these two have not had a great relationship in the past anyways. At their time in Sacramento. Napier responded, hey, how are you? Thought you forgot about me. Haven't heard from you in years. In capital letters, all lives matter, every single one. Now, he took a lot of heat, and he actually stepped down, I think it was yesterday, from those comments. And this is something that, I could be just honest with you, I had no clue what all lives matter means when you respond with that, talking about Black Lives Matter. And it's, again,
what does it mean?
The response is, yeah, well, okay, your life, you're white. Your life has always mattered. And now Black Lives Matter. So it's actually condemning the movement of Black Lives Matter. What you're actually saying by responding to that is, no, Black Lives don't matter. Ours do. And I don't know. I had no clue that that's kind of how it's taken. And it is.
It's
so when you say yeah. all lives matter, they'll take it. Black Lives Matter. That movement will take it as you're saying, Black lives don't. You're white. Your life's always mattered. So, listen. I was unaware of that meaning of it. I don't know if Grant Napier was, but he stepped down the other day. He's no longer the play-by-play.
But couldn't you see that just being a natural response, just a normal reaction? Hey, squirrels matter. Dogs matter. Well, listen, yes. Cats matter, mice, they matter. All animal life matters, right? Can't you just see a general statement like that, not really knowing
that
it's Except a disrespectful it's a, statement?
You know what it is? It's like the okay symbol. You know, not knowing that it's a symbol for white supremacy. You just think it's the game that everybody plays.
Nobody told me that the meaning changed.
So I didn't know
this. You're not paying attention. It's the third rail now.
Okay? I didn't know.
It is the third rail. So, yes. So... I think it was innocent.
What do you mean the third rail?
It's the third rail. You don't go there. What you're doing, you're dismissing Black Lives by saying that.
Yes.
That's what they're claiming.
That's how
they're,
that's
that
how
you
it's
are
taken.
Dismissing it by saying, okay, I get it. I get the rules and whatever.
Okay, so I'm sorry. But, I didn't know what the rules are. Don't fire me.
See, here's the
I
only
think
thing.
Most people that would respond with all lives matter mean white, black, Asian, Latin. I mean, everyone. I care about everyone's life.
Can you if Latin America is being discriminated against, if Asian Americans are being discriminated against, I mean, is it any person of color or ethnic background is dealing with some sort of racism? Is it insensitive or disrespectful to say, hey, I agree, but let's make sure we include everybody.
No, it's the third rail. So right. Your intent is to be inclusive of everybody.
Yes.
That everybody gets an equal
yes.
opportunity and an equal station. The problem is that it's being viewed right now as being dismissive. You're dismissing the whole cause. Now, as it goes with Grant Napier, the only thing I'm going to say in this is, because I don't know this guy, I saw Mad Dog Russo did a... thing on a show yesterday, because apparently he's known Grant since he was a kid, dating back to his Long Island days, and he's vouching for him and saying the guy's not a racist, he's not this. I don't know what's in this guy's heart. The players, and there seem to be others other than just DeMarcus Cousins, are coming out of the woodwork right now, and they're lashing back at this guy. Okay? So is it possible that these players were around him, and being somebody who's traveled with a professional team, an NBA team, players get to know you. They get to know your heart, your intent, how you react to different stuff. Is it possible that Napier pissed them off because over the years they have felt that maybe there was a tinge of racism
It's not just possible. Players have come out and said it.
Right. So that's why I'm not going to sit here and try to defend this guy, because you can say whatever you want. Because what are words, really, in many cases? I know people make a big, huge deal out of them right now, but it's your actions that really count. And if this guy behind the scenes, and apparently I read some stuff where when it came to Donald Sterling, he was actually supporting him, saying that he wasn't racist. That's a bunch of BS. Guy, the league knew for 30 years that he was a racist. Okay? People that worked for him knew that he was a racist. They just wouldn't force him to give up the team. So if he was supporting Sterling over these years, and you're an African-American player on the Sacramento Kings, and you're hearing this, that's a different story. I don't know what's in the guy's heart. So it's hard from afar to sit there and say, are they just pissed off because he said all lives matter as opposed to Black Lives Matter?
Well, I think it's what Lou said, that it is a – it's what you said, too, the third rail. It's you're it's almost like you are hiding behind the phrase – of all lives matter, but what you're really saying is, I don't have time for this.
Right.
You're not any important. You're not as important as any other person that I'd walk through or meet in life. So, which is dismissive of the cause, the protest, and you know George Floyd being murdered. So, I mean, but
that's how it's taken.
I just feel like it's, and I don't know if he meant it. Maybe I don't know if this Napier guy is he a racist?
I don't.
I have no idea. Was he really trying to stick? Was he trying to stick it to somebody? Like you know, just really you know, under the radar, sticking it to people by his message? No clue. That's
well,
the way
it's almost
it was received,
like Boogie Cousins came out. I forget who the other player was who jumped on it. I think there was a couple other ones, but so if he feels that Grant Napier is like that, and he just sent a tweet out to him. Hey, what's your take on Black Lives Matter? He almost like he knew.
He set him up. He set him up. 100% set him up.
He knew that this guy, because you know what? Maybe he's actually heard him say that before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he's actually years ago when Boogie was still out in Sacramento and these guys had a discussion. This guy, Grant Napier, has, you know, keeps saying all lives matter. So he knew what that response would be.
Yeah, you hit that one out of the park right there. That was a Lou Maloney home run at his first at bat right there.
I mean, you just
100% set him up.
Yep. You just text some guy, what's your take on Black Lives Matter? He probably already knew what it was.
And he admitted he'd get
him to say all lives matter.
He admitted they hadn't communicated in years.
Yeah. Right. And he just sent out a tweet to him.
Right. All right, let's get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Here's Eddie in New Hampshire. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Glenn, I've listened to you for many, many years, and I just got to call you out. You started the show and you said, we have a bad cop, one bad cop. There was four cops there. While one murdered them, the other three were hanging
around. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So you've got four bad cops there. And, Eddie, there are more bad cops out there. I'm not sitting here telling you that these are the only bad cops. What I'm saying is, why do other cops who are probably great cops, African-American cops, have to lose their lives over this?
No, they shouldn't lose their lives. But I got to tell you, as an old white guy myself, it's up to us. You, me, Christian, Lou, all of us white guys. You know, we do have to start to speak up. We do. Because when the automatic response is all lives matter when we hear Black Lives Matter. And it isn't doing it justice. We need to speak up and say, listen, what's wrong is wrong. I'll give you an example. Years ago in the Patriots locker room, when that pig Zick Moat there spoke to that girl from the Herald and said, you keep looking at it, why don't you touch it? Those other athletes should have stood up. You know, never mind this.
Yeah, no, you got it all wrong. I'm not going there because you got the whole story wrong. Okay. And by the way, it's not a matter of what people say. You sit there and say, hey, it's up to, you know, old white guys to, it's what people do. So,
It's also about the generational thing too, right? Kids, you know what I mean. We actually, you know, we had this discussion yesterday about that, about this guy getting fired for that comment, and it was just we were just out in the deck hanging out, and we were talking about what you were saying, Christian.
Yep.
Like, what's wrong with saying something like that? And I was talking more about how, you know, that's how they sort of take it, and it was like my son actually looked at me and says, "Well, if black lives don't matter, no lives matter," and I was like, "Well, that's pretty much what it's saying."
Yep.
You know, and I kind of was like, okay. And that's what it's a kids. And hopefully, it was like that tweet that I saw over the weekend when a 30-year-old man was talking to a 15-year-old boy saying, your generation, you know, we've got to do something different. And it's about kids. And it was like a very proud moment, I must say. Having my son actually say something like that and just thinking, okay, you're doing something good here in Marshfield, Mass, where it's predominantly white.
Yeah,
but that's what it's about.
Can I bring this up, though? And we talked about this yesterday. Where is anybody? Where's the old white guy out there? Where's the middle-aged white guy? Where's anybody out there raising their hand and saying that George Floyd got what he deserved or that the cop was right? Where's that happening? I've never seen a case, guys. There was question in Ferguson with Michael Brown. There were questions what happened in the transport van in Baltimore. There were a lot of questions. There's video with this. There's not a single person I'm hearing out there, certainly, that's willing to go on TV and make remarks known, sitting here going, oh, no, I'm defending the cop. The cop was right. Everybody's agreeing. So if we're all agreeing right now that this was police brutality and it might have been a civil rights violation if the white cop was doing it because the guy was black, then why can't we solve the problem? It's not like there are people out there that the white supremacists are not out in the street arguing this right now. What are we talking about? How do we not fix this now? As opposed to everybody talking about it. This is what we do. We talk about it. All right, we'll talk with you about it coming up next. All right, back here on OMF, 617-779-7937. We're going to get to the phone calls here in a second, but we can tell you that they are now assembling in Fitchburg today. So crowds are gathering in Fitchburg. So they started in Boston. They went to Providence. And last night, Brockton, and apparently they are going to protest in Fitchburg. And hopefully it will be nonviolent. And it will be simply that, a peaceful protest in Fitchburg tonight. But they're obviously going to send a lot more help up to Fitchburg tonight. So we'll see
who picks the city.
I don't know. I don't know. There's so many groups at work in all of this. And I don't know if you guys have seen some of the video that some people are putting up there. And the problem with some of the video that you see out there is that you're wondering the agenda, the angle of the person that's putting it out there. So, you know, you're trying to dissect and analyze, you know, because everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's coming from a different direction. But a lot of it is the Antifa. A lot of it is Black Lives Matter. I saw last night in Portland, Black Lives Matter were pissed off at the Antifa group. They were basically telling them to leave because Black Lives Matter wanted to do it in a peaceful manner. Yeah. And Antifa was showing up with bricks and blocks and big boulders and stuff like that. And they were literally having an argument in the street.
Yeah.
With each other.
One wants to keep it peaceful, the other one's out for destruction.
Yeah.
You guys watched that thing in Brockton last night, you know, and the cops are sitting there all lined up, and you know, there was just a couple hundred people there, maybe, but it seemed like you're watching it saying, okay, if they could just go and grab those four people, they might end this thing. There's four people just constantly running. There was one guy in like a red shirt, and just kept running up to the line, throwing water, walking up to the line, crossing the line,
bleep
coming
disturbers.
Back. Yeah. Yeah, and you're just like, okay, if they could just get rid of these four agitators, it might have been okay there, like all night
See,
long.
I think that's a big part of it, though. I think there are disturbers out there, and they're hiding behind the peaceful protesters,
yes.
And they're jumping in when they get an opportunity and disturbing everything.
All right, so I'll get to the calls after this, but I was watching it last night, and I'm not sure if it was Brockton or Boston. I'm not sure which one it was, but there's this, you know, all the orange pylons, barricades, and then the protesters are yelling and screaming at the cops, and there's tons of cops, and you know, then there's like three lines of them, of cops, and someone would pass the barrier, and the barrier would fall down, and then somebody would pick it up, and they'd get behind the barrier again, but they were just yelling, and yelling at the cops, and the cops were just standing there. In my head, I was like, well, okay, if the cops just leave, who are they going to yell at? Like, why wouldn't the cops just leave?
Because anarchy
don't take
out
over. Control.
You can't do that. But all it is, in my opinion, it's like, okay, you're giving them a target. Hey, here are the cops. We hate the cops. Signifies hatred, racism, and everything. Let's yell at them. They're the victims. Not the victims. They're the bad guys. Let's yell at them.
Are you serious when you talk about the cops leaving?
No, my point
New York
was,
tried that.
If the cops well,
Minneapolis
just
tried
left,
that. How'd that work?
If the cops just
Minneapolis
left,
tried it.
And it's a peaceful protest, who are they going to yell at? It's like, so would you rather take your anger out of the cops?
There are people who are peacefully protesting, but there are also these other groups, some that just want to rob stores, okay, because they know that it's easy and they can get away with it and they get some free stuff. And there's another group that is more politically motivated. They want a revolution. They're saying it when the microphones are in front of them. They want to change the entire world. So if the cops leave, the peaceful protesters will probably continue to be peaceful.
I guess, but I was just like, okay, if the cops leave, then who do they have? They don't have anyone to yell at. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but they're going to rob everybody.
Who
Newbury Street is done.
But it gives them, the okay to just go and do whatever the hell they want.
I know. When I'm watching it, I had my kids here last night, too. We're watching it, and the questions are just all over the place.
So last night in New York, people are doing it with their phones, and they're videotaping it. And they're laughing and joking because they're watching coming down the street and the people who are ready to loot and break into these businesses. There's Rolls Royce, Mercedes-Benz, they're Audis. These aren't protesters. These are people who are criminals who are taking advantage right now of this situation and what happened to George Floyd. All right, back to the phone calls. Tom is in Deerfield. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Tom.
Good, Tom. I agree. The looting and the extra violence and all this other stuff is horrible. But part of it is cause and effect from systemic failure, decades and even hundreds of years of failure. When you have the average white person in Boston's wealth at $247,000 and the average black person is $8, you have issues. When you have...
I think your figures are off.
No, they're not. Look at Duke University. You can Google it up right away.
Did you say the average salary of an African-American is $8?
Salary. Wealth. The average wealth of a black person in
salary.
Boston
Sorry.
Is $8. The average wealth of a white person in Boston is $247,000.
Yeah, but when you...
That's I'm just saying you have to look.
You can make figures do whatever you want.
Let's
not get away from the topic. Go ahead. I get it. Go ahead. Bad numbers.
And when you have a president who
is
very racist and inflames it. Well, he is. He is. He's got a track record. He flames it. I mean, he was pumping up riots and telling people to bring guns because of the COVID crisis a couple weeks ago.
That's not really what he was doing. Can you imagine if the police, that is what he did. So, Tom, let me ask you this, Tom. So you just cited, and because I think you're partially correct, in that as much as people make this a race issue, it really is a class issue. It really is the difference of money that people make and from whites to blacks. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. So would you not applaud Trump for the last 3.5 years, with the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans in the history of this country?
Absolutely not.
Okay. See, that's where I disagree with you. I think he's been awful in the way he's handled this weekend. I think he's been at times really shaky when it comes to COVID-19 with some of those long press conferences he does. I don't see how you can't look at it and say, if it is a class problem, if it is a financial problem for African Americans, and suddenly we have more African Americans working than ever before with more wealth than they've ever had before, that you can't compliment him on that. And that's what people are doing. He either sucks from some people or he's great. He's somewhere in between. He does good things. He does bad things.
Yeah, like most humans.
I don't know why you can't break him down. And he's an egotistical maniac, which drives everybody crazy. I would agree with that. Ron's in Medford. Hey, Ron.
That caller just now just cracks me up. Obama was in office for 8 years. And these are facts. At the end of his 8 years, you had 13 more million people on public assistance, welfare, and food stamps. And you had 8 million more people at the poverty level or below. Those are facts. Here's another fact. Who is the one who passed criminal justice reform that targeted minorities for low-level drug offenses and put them in prison for years? Trump. Not to mention Bernice King, Martin Luther King's niece, and his daughter, both pastors, support Donald Trump and say Obama never did nothing for him. Now, let me ask you a question, too. When you're talking about African-American lives, what happened with that white cop, we, like you said, Glenn, we watched it. It was that was murder, just like the guy in Times Square when they killed him over a cigarette, over saying he sold a cigarette. That was murder. That guy should rot in hell. But the point of the matter is, you have double-digit murders, black-on-black crime in Chicago every weekend,
yeah.
Detroit, St. Louis.
I understand that, Ron. Hey, I get it. I understand it. You had a bad weekend.
That is a much bigger issue.
You had a bad weekend this past weekend in Chicago, but nobody wants to hear about it. And, you know, you can look at the failure of Rahm Emanuel and the present mayor now. There's great failure in that city.
Well, I get it.
They don't want to hear it.
Okay, well, I think they separate it.
Yeah.
So that's a huge issue.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's a huge issue. Crime in the cities, black-on-black crime, that's a huge issue. We got another issue, though, that they're trying to deal with right now. So, I mean, I it's not that they don't care. I just think they can separate the two and just say, of course, that's an issue. But, you know, what happened in Minneapolis and what's happened in the past and how they feel they're being treated by this country, I think is probably right now more of the focus than what goes on in the inner cities.
And by the way, statistics don't play into any of this because you can look at the numbers, and the numbers are actually down of unarmed black males who have been killed by police, but nobody wants to hear it. I don't blame them because it is still an issue. Nobody's sitting here telling you that it isn't an issue. Talking about issues, Colin Kaepernick is back in the news. Not that he's out there saying an awful lot. He's really saying nothing. He's putting some money towards bailing out some of the people. But there seems to be a question now of whether football players are going to kneel again or not. Drew Brees was one of those guys who was questioned today. You will hear his answer coming up next. We're doing it all from our Shaw's and Star Market Home Studios.